The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Head to StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the TSW Roundtable. I am, once again, your moderator, Robert Cass, and we got a great show for you tonight. Actually, we've been able to make a little bit of a connection here, because tonight, what I'll do, I'll introduce my co-host for this evening first. It's his second appearance on the show, and he's a fellow Canadian, just down the 401 highway. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people, but it does to us. Kyle from the Tumbling Saber.
Hello, hello!
Welcome back, Kyle. This is awesome.
Thanks for having me. This is there's no better way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I appreciate it. I know you're like myself. You got a house full of little ones and wives and summer stuff, and it's really hard to carve out an hour out of a Sunday afternoon, but we appreciate it. So it's
well, I was just like, my wife was, we're trying to like herd the cats out the door, like, go, they want to go to the splash pad, but they just like, usually when we're trying to get rid of them, They're or trying to keep them home, they want to leave.
Yeah.
Now we want them to leave, they want to stay home.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. It's like they know.
Oh, I know. Mine is 7.5 months, and she's just started. Well, I got a 14-year-old, and I have one that's 7.5 months, and I know. But anyways. my baby just started, crawled for the first time yesterday. So oh, wow. I'm in trouble. And if you want to talk about hurting children, I'm starting that again, so but hey, it was like one of those moments where it was like, oh, this is awesome, oh no, what have we done?
So, why did I do this?
Why? All right, so without further ado, I'm gonna introduce our newest knight from the Tumbling Saber podcast, Bradley. Would you like to say hello to everyone?
Hello Star Wars fans.
Yeah, and welcome. And you're calling, you're coming from where?
I'm actually coming from Terrell, Texas. It's about 30 miles east of Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
So if you know where Dallas is at,
I'm a New York Giants fan, so I know of the Dallas area.
Yes, quite well, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. And for some reason, we have Philadelphia, Washington, New York, and of course, all the way down there, there's the Cowboys in the same division. So,
right. I've never understood that, but that's the way it's always been. So.
But there you go. Okay, yes. Well, we'll have to overcome that. We have to look over, yes. We have to look past our differences here and continue. It's okay. Kyle's a Miami Dolphins fan, so we can both laugh at him.
Yes, you poor. Oh, man.
Well, I know.
You talk about a drought.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, you know, that's... Well, at least he's seen it. I think our biggest joke, not to get off Star Wars, but I know us in the NFC East, that's a division in the NFL, and the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants are in the same division, and mm-hmm. we always like to pick on Philadelphia because I think there's, 12 Lombardi trophies in the NFC East, and not one of them belongs to Philly.
Right. So, right.
Either way, Kyle, at least you got a couple Lombardis. It was way before your time, but you know.
Well, before me, yes. And
yes,
I take no delight in laughing at anybody these days because I have to deal with Jay Cutler this season.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
So our listeners from across the pond, I know when I do the roundtable, sometimes I hijack the show, and then it's like, wait a second, this is a bunch of North Americans on this show. What's going on here? Where are those soothing, docile tones of the British accent? No, not here.
Well, hey, at least, you know, if two Canadians were going to segue from in a Star Wars podcast into sports, you would think it'd be hockey.
I know, but you see what I did there? Oh, hockey's right. Coming, believe me. Yeah, we got it. That's a whole other story, but we'll save that for another roundtable. So this is the gist of it. This is what we like to do. If you haven't heard the roundtable before, we like to take podcast hosts from the Star Wars Commonwealth Network, and we like to take podcast listeners from the Star Wars Commonwealth Network and get them on the show and get them a chance to podcast. So here we are. What I usually do, I usually ask one of the listener that's joining us to arm themselves with a question or two. So, Bradley, do you have a question you wanted to pass around the roundtable?
I guess I have several questions. Actually, okay. the topic I came with today, in light of what's happened this past week, is Kenobi, and the confirmation of that movie. That it's going to be made this, that it's actually going to, you know, come to fruition. And so I have several questions that kind of go along those lines.
Okay. Well, what's your first question to start it off?
So my first one is, are you kind of surprised about the announcement of this movie actually being made coming out at this time?
Okay. Kyle, what do you think?
Lucasfilm hasn't said anything yet, right? So I think who broke the story? Was it The Hollywood Reporter? Was it Variety? I think it was one of the two.
I think it was because of who are they looking at, the director?
Stephen Daldry?
Yeah, and I think it's leaking out through him. But either way, it looks like it's on the horizon now. It's not official right. As of this recording. But Kyle, what do you think? You think it's just...
I guess, well, Lucasfilm will always reserve the right to release that news when they see fit, when it's most advantageous to them. I don't know when that announcement would be coming. I would think that if the news is accurate, and The Hollywood Reporter and Variety are both two legitimate news sources, so if they're correct, then I would think that Lucasfilm is now got to accelerate the news machine and think about putting this out officially sooner than later. But as far as this movie being the first to in this kind of second wave, no, I'm not shocked at all. I think I would have put all my chips in the middle of the table on Kenobi being the next standalone.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as the timing, I think maybe this was set to be announced a little earlier, but in the wake of the Han Solo director change up, the musical chairs they had going on there. And the juggling they had to do, and because they kind of just put their hands in the air and said, "Okay, with the Disney con they have, what is it called?
D23.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, San Diego Comic Con rolled around, and nothing happened. So I think I just think it they had something planned, but then okay, no, now we have to back it up. I think they would have been, by now, they would have been ready to announce, because they would have had the teaser trailers for Han Solo, they would have had a bunch of other news, and, you know what I mean, it just, I think it skewed their timeline a little bit, and now, because the stuff has been simmering, if it's sitting there simmering on the stove, we all know something's going to leak eventually, like, to somebody.
Right.
Well, yeah, to take some football terminology, it's only a matter of time before a receiver will break loose from his coverage, right? So the thing, you can make the same parallel here, that if there's legitimate news done and confirmed, it's only a matter of time before it leaks out.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bradley.
I honestly expected to hear some kind of confirmation after The Last Jedi came out. So like somewhere around the first of the year was my personal belief, you know, that that's when something was actually going to be announced. And so I was unaware that that it hasn't been officially announced by Lucas yet, because I was looking for that, but I never saw any confirmation there. And so
what do you think about Kenobi being the next one to come along?
Okay, so me and my brother-in-law kind of have gone back and forth on what the third standalone movie was going to be. He's always thought that it was going to be about Boba Fett, where I was like, no, I think a Kenobi movie would actually be a better movie to come out. Now, as I'm saying that, I think it's more of my personal opinion. I'm not too sure what you're going to do with a Kenobi movie, where if you have a Boba Fett movie, you can kind of go, you know, the sky's the limit in a sense on what you could do, what kind of story you could have. Your timeline with a Kenobi movie, you're pretty much set to a certain date in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. Especially, we learned that from the prequels. You can't, we have Kenobi. We see where he starts off when he's a Padawan and he's with Qui-Gon. And then we see his death with Darth Vader. So we're kind of roped into having this. We're limited on what they can tell. But I'm still looking forward to some whatever story they can come up with. You think they're going to kind of go along the same lines as the book that's now Legends? Kyle, do you think they're going to have him in the desert on Tatooine waiting for Luke to grow up, or you think they'll try somewhere else?
I've always been of the mind that he would not leave Tatooine unless it was the most important of reasons. Like, in my mind, when Leia shows up in A New Hope, her hologram, that is, that's the reason to get him off Tatooine.
Yeah.
Something that important. Otherwise, he's not going anywhere. So I think, in my mind, and I don't know if this is my preference or if just where my head is at, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he would leave whatsoever. So yeah, a Kenobi spinoff would be completely centered on Tatooine, for better or worse.
Do you think they would? I don't think they dare go make a younger Kenobi, like pre Phantom Menace. Bradley, do you think they would touch on something like that, or that's just not interesting to anybody?
Well, that was something I thought about yesterday when I was talking of, you know, when I was writing my question down. I was like, you know, do they have Ewan McGregor coming back reprising his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi, or do you, you know, go to a different time period and you have a completely different character playing Obi-Wan? I mean, I don't think they're opposed or shy about doing that because they're having a completely new character reprising the role as Han Solo. And so if you did create a movie, an Obi-Wan movie, where you did have a different time period, now you kind of open up your story, your plot. You could have, you have choices in a sense. With the time period of him being on Tatooine, I mean, you're pretty much, you know, pigeonholed to a desert planet and not much else. It's what these guys can come up with. Can they come up with a storyline that's away from the planet, that's kind of going parallel with Obi-Wan?
Yeah, like I don't know. Saying. Like a B, like they use it on television series all the time. They have a B story going on, and they'd have to do that off world. Like, there has to be it just visually too. Like, remember Force Awakens when we're on Jakku, and then all of a sudden they go to Maz's castle, and it's like, and even we see it in Rey's expression. It's just, oh my gosh! Like, look at the color, look at the water, look at the, it visually wakes you in the movie. It's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, we're here, we're moving along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always thought an Obi-Wan movie would between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope would always be sort of a Lawrence of Arabia type. And I think that's the movie, you know, yeah. Star Wars always runs between 2 hours, 220, something like that. This would be a movie for me that, instead of dragging it out into two movies or like an Obi-Wan trilogy, make it like a 3-hour epic, like Lawrence of Arabia type thing. Yeah. And that movie was shot almost entirely in a desert and turned out pretty well for that movie. So, as much as it would be a little bit, I guess monotonous visually and moving away from what Star Wars normally does, which is mix up the environments and keep you visually in the game.
Right.
A whole movie on Tatooine might start to wear on you a bit, but I think that's the point. I think it could help serve the point that here's Obi-Wan in this desert world on glorified babysitting duty. And the weight of the world, the heat, the environment just wears on him. Like, he looks old in A New Hope, and he's, you know, by the book, by canon, he's not that old.
That's standing in there, like, you know, look how bad we look when we sit in the sun too much. Like, they got two suns.
Exactly. You get sand, yeah. You know, getting sandblasted for decades might do that to a guy.
His environment has aged him quite a bit. Yes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I Do I like Obi-Wan movie? Yeah. Like, what else are you going to give me that I'm going to go, ooh, that sounds better?
Now, one thing about why I'm intrigued about an Obi-Wan movie is because there's the potential for, Qui-Gon Jinn being in the picture and him talking to Qui-Gon Jinn. I think that would be a real interesting, addition to the story.
I think if you went that route, you'd almost have to have Ewan McGregor and
Liam Neeson. Yeah.
Liam Neeson. Yeah. It's, I know we get too married to whoever's portraying characters. I remember even when it came down to Rebels, when Twin Suns came out and they didn't have, James Arnold Taylor voicing Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. Who did they get?
It was Stephen Stanton.
Yeah, exactly. But he did an unbelievable job. Yes. Like, going up to it, I'm like, wait a second. Hey, no, the animated Obi-Wan is James Arnold Taylor. How could he not even get a phone call? And then in my head, I'm making a silent protest going like, oh, wow, this is ridiculous. And then I heard Stephen Stanton's and I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
he nailed Alec Guinness.
He did. It was perfect.
Right. So I think going into these things, we take them a little too, like, we hold them too close to the chest, and then we're like, no, I don't like the idea. And then you see it, I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. You know,
that worked.
We get over it.
Yeah, you got to be ready with your divorce papers for your headcanon at any moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so other than that, is there something else you wanted to add to the Kenobi, Brad?
No, that's probably about it.
Hashed until it all over.
Yeah, I guess until we actually have a confirmation, I guess an official confirmation. That's probably.
Yeah.
That's probably about it.
No, I hear you. So, you know what I'm going to do? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Do you think y'all kind of talked about it. Do you think that an official announcement's going to be coming out before The Last Jedi comes out?
Officially, I think now they can't avoid it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if what they're saying is true, then yeah, I think it's got to be coming in the next I would say before the
October
final trailer. Yeah, before the trailer for The Last Jedi comes, which I think is going to be in October. I think they've got to get in front of that and announce it.
Mhm. Yeah, I think definitely, and especially if this is an actual legitimate leak. You never know. We could just be chasing our tails, like, and just high hopes, and maybe because of the lack of news, there's news that was being created.
Well, I think maybe you're getting close to the point here. Maybe Stephen Daldry thinks he's in the driver's seat, and maybe he's trying to force Lucasfilm's hand a little bit by, if he's the guy that is maybe leaking this news, then maybe he's trying to pressure Lucasfilm into making that announcement to confirm him before they move on to somebody else.
Yeah.
Which would be very dirty, because no organization likes to have their hand forced that way. So,
no, especially like Lucasfilm and Disney. Like, you don't go after the mouse like that. Like, come on.
No, it's a bad, bad move, and it might blow up in his face. So, yeah, I want to say that this is going to happen, but until the House of Mouse or Lucasfilm issues that press release, or until we see it on the Star Wars show or whatever, something official.
Yeah.
I'm going with it. We're all here doing our shows, and yeah, it sounds like Stephen Daldry's the guy and Obi-Wan is coming for sure. It's on the slate, on the horizon, but I just want that official confirmation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, and like I said, I think it's because of the musical chairs and the director's chairs they had with Han Solo and the bad press. They don't want to, they're having problems, they can't get this together, and I remember everybody last year, but he's panicking about the reshoots for Rogue One, like, and that one Darth Vader scene where he went full Vader on the Rebels, that was a reshoot. So I trust him, like, you got it, like, you mean, like, obviously they know what they're doing, like.
Yeah, I think they've got this covered.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we haven't been disappointed yet.
No. I know there's been issues. I mean, people have issues with Force Awakens, and it was a rehash of this and this. But they literally had, I know they won't admit it, but they had a a list, and they had to check all the boxes, and they did it, and they did it well, extremely well. I mean, could they, if they didn't feel like they had to appeal to the older generation, they could have leaned it a different way and maybe made it a better film, or vice versa. If they didn't have to appeal to rope in the new generation, they could have went full on OT and then made something like a new story, but with all our old characters, and have Luke in the full thing. And but no, they're doing a great job. I trust them. So I haven't seen anything bad yet. So we'll wait.
And I'm hoping the next movie and episode 9 will kind of complete that trilogy in a sense, and actually help The Force Awakens to be, in a sense, more of an appreciated movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, you know what I'm going to do? I don't usually get to, but on this round table, because we got a smaller table today, I actually had a question, something I wanted to throw in. As far as the Last Jedi and episode 9 that's currently in development, do you think, now I know everybody's bantering around, what are they going to do with Leia? What can they do with Leia? What's their options with Leia? Is it at all, you know how the directors asked, like, I know Rian Johnson asked J.J. Abrams, oh, could you include R2-D2 when he goes to see Luke at the end of the movie instead of BB-8? Can you know, they're in conversation. They do know the basic story plot that's coming, right? Is it at all possible that Leia has already shot some scenes for episode 9? Like, say if they're on location and they got everybody there and they go, okay, yes, we know she's going to leave the series or pass away or whatever she's got going on. Kind of like, okay, well, I would take it way back. Remember Back to the Future? Remember all the scenes with Marty's girlfriend? She was in Back to the Future 2 and 3, but she filmed everything all at once, kind of thing, because they were in the location, and they had her, and they had this, and they had that. And is it possible that, like, so she only had to, she didn't have to show up for the second movie to shoot that, because she was already done. It was already in the can. Is it possible that they did something similar with Carrie Fisher and just didn't realize, you know what I mean, like, maybe they can use all that footage now in episode 8 instead of tying her over to episode 9? Like, do you understand what I'm getting at?
I guess it's possible. You know, from the conversation, like what Kyle and James and I'm going blank here.
Corey. Corey don't goes blank Corey, too, so it's
don't
okay.
Tell Corey I forgot his name. Anyway, from y'all's conversation on y'all's podcast, you know, y'all talked about how Leia supposedly was going to have a bigger role in episode 9.
Right.
And so I think it's possible that they could have filmed some of those shots saying, since we're here, since, you know, we've got everything in place, let's go ahead and get this shot.
Yeah.
Especially if they've already talked to the director of 9 and possibly already have kind of a story in place there, I could see them going ahead and doing those shots. I think that's what happened? My gut feeling tells me they didn't do anything like that.
But, yeah, I don't suspect it, but it's like I'm saying, if they have a couple of scenes, if they're kind of piecing everything together, do you know what I mean? Like, if what they're saying is they're not changing her storyline, we know Carrie Fisher isn't with us, and they're not using a CGI or replacing the actor, and they don't have to film anything more, but nothing's changed since the news of her death. Like, it just seems a little, you know what I mean?
It's just, I know.
It's a little odd.
And maybe them not panicking is because they do have those shots.
Exactly. Like I said, I understand they might have wanted to go more, obviously, or go deeper and get different. But maybe just because I know each director says, no, they write the movie on their own and they don't. But there is an overall story arc. We know there is. They don't.
Right.
Disney film just doesn't go, here's the ending to the trilogy, it's completely up to you, we trust you 100%. No, they would never. Like, there's Like, it's impossible. Like, I understand if they told Ryan Johnson, you have to get our characters from here to here, and what you do in between is up to you, but you can't stray from these points. You know what I mean? So it wouldn't surprise me if they had a few things in the can for episode 9, or, you know what I mean? Like I said, and I know it's Disney and Lucasfilm, and they have almost an unlimited budget, but if they have all the characters on a certain planet, in a certain situation, and the crew's there, they're not going to burn money. If they can take the shot, if they take the shot they need, they're going to take it.
Yeah, I mean, you're saving money in a sense by doing that.
Absolutely.
So you think at the end of Force Awakens that they already knew what the end result was going
to
be?
Oh, I'm sure they have an overall arc. They have to. Like, they can't just be like, here's our movie. Oh, this is weird. Now what do we do? Ooh, like, you know what I mean? It just seems, you mean, they probably knew going in, okay, Harrison Ford's probably not going to want to stick with us for the trilogy. Let's get him out. And they did, and they did it great. I think they knew what they wanted to do with Luke, and I think, and the Rey and Kylo and everything else. And then they have their arc. And all the other characters involved, like Finn and Phasma, you mean, it's like all this other stuff is going to be like the stuff they can play with.
Right.
You mean. Okay, Kyle, what do you think? Is there any chance they got a few scenes in the can with Carrie Fisher already, and that's why they're not too panicked about what's going on?
It is possible. Sure, it's possible. Although, we have to consider that, considering the rewrites that have happened, what good are the scenes that they may have already captured? I don't know if they'd still fit. You know, maybe they can somehow make it fit through digital trickery or some tricky editing. I'm not sure. I'm not a movie maker. Far from it. So who am I to say it's not possible? Right. You know, we've been told ad nauseum that Carrie Fisher was supposed to, like, episode 9 was going to be her film, is what Kathleen Kennedy said. So in my mind, Leia survives 8. She was going to be prominent in 9. So yes, I mean, they could have captured whatever it is they wanted from her to use in 9 and just said, okay, Carrie, you're actually done. But I don't think that seems fitting, does it? Like,
no.
This is Carrie Fisher we're talking about. You're not going to just say, Leia, Carrie, we've got what we need from you. Yes, you'll be in 9, but we don't need you as part of this production. It seems an unsavory way to treat somebody who's been there since the start.
Oh, absolutely. No. What I was more thinking of, maybe they had the proper, just enough scenes. You mean like a deathbed scene or something? You mean it just so happened that production-wise that her demise or her leaving the saga was, okay, we'll grab those shots now. And then don't worry, you're going to have a whole movie leading up to it. You mean like maybe there's something? Maybe it doesn't seem like I said earlier. If they're not replacing the actor and they're not changing the story, and they have everything they need, like why? It just seems weird. I don't know. Maybe they're just, you mean, running around in circles, trying to figure.
This has made such a huge mess.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think. Do you guys believe that Han, Luke, and Leia were all set to die in this trilogy? Because I personally don't. I think of those three, I think Leia would have survived 9 and would have gone on, you know, to do whatever destiny. Like, she's not involved with the Jedi and the Force, so she doesn't have to resolve her story that way. She could have just, like any politician, rode off into the sunset. She didn't necessarily have to die on the job. You know what I mean? So if they defeated the Empire and she goes on to politics, she gets out of politics, she starts the Resistance, she defeats the First Order. I don't think anyone would have blamed her at that point if she had just said, I'm done, I'm out. But now that Carrie Fisher is gone, it's forced, they've had to take a good hard look at episode 9. And I can't see them, in my mind, with Carrie Fisher surviving 8, and I happen to believe that Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, is going to survive 8 as well. It would be a heck of a downer for the conclusion of the trilogy to kill off Luke and Leia. I think that's too heavy for the story, for fans to swallow. So I wonder if this whole rewrite has, obviously it's going to see the end of Leia, but
maybe Luke is the one that comes out of this now, which is not originally, surely what they originally not didn't plan. But I wonder if that's the eventual outcome now.
Yeah, I can almost see Luke showing up and say if they have another trilogy after this. Obviously, they're making billions, so but like, and I know it's like, oh, we don't want it to be a Fast and the Furious thing or a Transformers thing where they're just, oh, here we go, we got 14 more coming. Like, no. Like, they're gonna take a look at what they got, but maybe the next trilogy is like 50 years down the line, and then we bump into Luke almost like a Yoda character, not the same thing, not on Dagobah, but have him come in the old makeup and just be all elderly and like, oh my god, look, it's Luke, and he doesn't have to show up in the first of the three movie. He could show up in like the third movie of the third trilogy, or you know, or the fourth trilogy at that time. Like, they could shoehorn him in later to make it like a little, oh, look at that, that's an Easter egg for the old fans type thing. But I honestly, right. Go ahead, Bradley.
Yeah, I'm one of those that have believed that Luke would make it through this trilogy. Like, I don't feel like they were going to kill off his character at any point. And like Kyle was saying, now that Leia's character is going to be gone at some point, now I'm almost 100% sure that the Luke character is going to survive this trilogy.
Yeah, it's almost like if they killed everybody off, it would be almost like they're forcing the Star Wars fans' hand to, okay, you're getting the new cast now. Like, they're forcing the baton. You mean to us older fans? They're going, okay, you can't have this anymore. Like, this is you. If you're gonna like it, you better like the new stuff, because okay, we've done our service to you guys. Now we're gonna service the younger fans. It would just seem too much. Like, if they killed off one of the big three in every movie, then it's like, wow, okay, this is horrible.
At least it's not palatable, but it's digestible that way. If you know, if Luke were to die in 8 and Leia in 9, or you know, reverse that, at least that way there's, you know, it's not too much at once. But mm-hmm. you know, if you had killing Luke and Leia in episode 9, to yeah. me is, oh, that's
yeah, it's like, I can't wait for the next trilogy. It's
like, what? And I think if Luke were to die in this trilogy, it would be at the very end of episode 9. Yeah. Like he would do something that would... I have no idea. Like, yes, that saves everybody, you know, that kind of ending.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, like we've all said many times, right? If there's ever if there's been a franchise where death is not does not prevent a character from remaining part of the story, it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
But there is a distinction to be made between here's the character in the flesh and there's his Force ghost. Like, we still react to seeing somebody get run through with a lightsaber. Like, that character dies. Yes, their spirit lives on and their essence is still around. But I think there's a clear delineation between the protein form of that character and the ethereal one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's... there's no other way around it. You can't. I think Obi-Wan did it best when he popped back and Yoda dies, and then Luke leaves his little hut, and then there's Obi-Wan walking around the corner. Hey, Luke. Oh, hey.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, what? That's a little too casual to see. You just saw a ghost. And I don't expect a Scooby-Doo reaction, like, ghost. But come on, like, this is kind of amazing.
Well, do you think we're going to see ghosts like that in episode 8 or episode 9?
I do.
You really?
Force ghosts? I think, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
And who's it going to be? If Yoda. You had to choose. If you had to just throw a guess. Is it going to be an Yoda. Unknown Yoda?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not Obi-Wan, because obviously Alec Guinness is not with us, and so... unless they CG'd him, I guess they could do it.
And Force ghosting is CG. Like, CG Force ghost would be easy. Easier on him.
Yeah, it'd be easy.
Or would they age up Ewan?
Yeah, of course.
And say, well, you know, whatever. It's you know, Ewan, Alec Guinness, like, well, whatever, you know, just suspend your disbelief. I guess
he probably could pull it off.
Or we've already heard Ewan's voice in The Force Awakens, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, yeah, but we heard Kevin Smith's voice in Force Awakens, so I'm not, I mean, that was a, oh, hey, Star Wars is back, and the phone rang off the hook, and J.J. Abrams put everybody in it. So I believe, I'm not taking all that to heart. I'm not, you know, I don't need a standalone Kevin Smith, Jay and Silent Bob, sitting on the Death Star, you mean, selling their wares. You mean, like, I don't, you know, like I said.
Well, I'd watch that.
Oh, I watched a hell of it, but I don't need it. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe you think maybe we can have an Anakin come back and be like, go to Kylo and be like, what are you doing? Like, you mean like, no, like this is not the path.
Well, that's a very interesting question. I've thought about that a lot, and I think, you know, from the, all the EW stuff that dropped last week, the Bresna bomb, as I call it.
Yeah.
He had mentioned in the Kylo Ren piece that he's gone full dark side now. Now, I don't know if that prevents him from seeing Force ghosts, because we now know that Sith cannot see Force ghosts. It just doesn't work that way for them. So if Anakin had ever visited Kylo,
yeah,
it had to have been in the past. Maybe when Kylo had started to fall to the dark side. But you got to think at some, it really should have happened at some point where Anakin comes knocking on his door and saying, "Hey, Ben."
Yeah.
All this worship of me and this dark half of myself, maybe park that. That's I really made a big mistake. I thought I was in the right. I goofed. So take it from me. Yeah. Don't go down this road.
And it's not like somebody on Endor just found his smoldering helmet and took it and then started worshiping it and being like, you mean like just from an outsider's looking in, oh, this is the Darth Vader and has no clue about the entire Skywalker story. Is just, hey, this is the big boss of that thing that blew up in the sky, and now I'm going to worship this. This is his grandson. So, you mean, there's a connection there. There's a, you mean, I can understand if a Force ghost isn't going to come back and talk to everybody that has a spiritual experience. Like, hey, who are you? I'm Yoda. Yeah, stop that. You're going down the wrong path. Oh, hang on. I gotta go to this other system because there's somebody else going down the wrong path. I no, but right. Because they're actually related, you know, like I can see it. Like I don't know. Do we want it? Do we want Vader back in a Force ghost form? Like
I don't.
I think. So. Go ahead, Bradley.
I don't think. It would be neat to see it, but I don't think we have to see that. And I don't actually believe that we will see an Anakin Force ghost. To kind of go back to the you know, finding Vader's mask on Endor, you know, I'm intrigued on how did he come about the helmet?
Yeah.
You know, where did that come from? What relic hunter found that? And then, you know, how did he, you know, Ben come to own it? I don't believe that he's ever seen Anakin's Force ghost at all, because I believe if he had seen Anakin's Force ghost and Anakin, like you're saying, Kyle, actually said, hey, that's not, the dark side is not the way, and would have pleaded to him to not succumb to the dark side, I think that would have resonated a lot more with Ben more than Snoke, you know, drawing him off sides to the dark side. So
right.
I don't think
another
that
football,
ever...
Another one.
Another drama off sides.
More football terminology. I love it.
Right.
Oh, hey, I'm a football ref up here in, well, you know, like the American-Canadian style football ref in here in Canada. So I can talk that all day. That's not...
Mm-hmm.
I got a flag right in the other room here. If you want me to throw it, I can do that. Except I don't know, Bradley, if you'd recognize it. It's a big bright orange flags we have up here in Canada.
Okay.
We don't use yellow flags.
Okay.
No difference. The same thing. It's a penalty. But anyway, we're veering off course. So Force Ghosts in this continuing trilogy. I don't know how we got here, but we got here. What do you think? So, Kyle, Vader yes, Vader no?
Well, definitely no Vader.
No Vader?
Anakin... No Vader.
Or do you mean Anakin? Or do you mean Anakin?
That's the second. That's two. I will split him. So Vader on
no.
its own. No. Anakin?
No Vader.
I will echo what Bradley said. It would be nice to see, but I can't see. I would imagine Hayden Christensen reprises the role.
Yes.
I can't see young Hayden Christensen dishing out wisdom. Maybe to Kylo Ren that works, but Hayden Christensen doling out wisdom to Mark Hamill as his son.
Yeah.
That visually, that's weird. The young man telling his son, who's the old man, like, that's a little too interstellar for me, you know?
Well, that's just it. It looks like if you had Hayden Christensen and Adam Driver, it would look like a bro down. Like, it would be like, you know, it wouldn't look like grandfather or grandson. It would seem too weird, I think.
Yeah.
So
now that you're saying it out loud, definitely it's not going to happen.
No. So
sounds weird.
So we're all sitting around the table and we got to push our chips in, and we think, and then are we putting our money on Yoda? If we have to.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All my money on Yoda.
Yeah, I like it. And again, easier to do, easier to set up. And see, you can just dust off his old his Jedi Muppet.
Well, and say this with the prior knowledge of knowing that MSW had a report. Boy, it's an old report now, that Frank Oz was in London, I think, at Pinewood, doing, like, on business. He was not there just to hang out. Like, he was doing something. And what else could it be?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, it's just, well, hey, you never, again, I don't know. With these Star Wars movies, again, that's when I got back to the, oh, look, it's Kevin Smith. He's voicing a voice. Or Simon Pegg was in the movie. It just seems, it's just, oh, this huge reunion thing. Everybody wants to be on the set. Everybody, look at, like, Daniel Craig being a stormtrooper for three lines. Like, you would, if I had the best script in the world, I couldn't approach Daniel Craig and say, you want to be in my movie for three lines? It would be like, yeah, no. It's because it's Star Wars. Now, as Frank Oz, he could just easily went back to the set just to catch up with Lawrence Kasdan and just hang out. And, oh, look at, hey, I'm walking on the Millennium Falcon again. Ooh, this is cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it could be.
Yeah, it could be puppet work for some other.
Yeah. You know, and he's Frank Oz. I'm sure it's like if he hit the buzzer at the studio, be like, yeah, it's Frank Oz. Yeah, come on in. Like,
yeah, you roll out the carpet for that guy.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Along with the Force Ghost, do you think there's a possibility that we might see orbs to go along with that? Because hasn't there been rumors that there's orbs involved here? Kind of like
the holocrons?
No, like the I'm trying to think in Rebels. I think it was in season 7. Clone Wars. Yes, thank you.
They may have been
have
in
they
both
been
actually.
In both? Yeah,
but definitely Clone Wars for sure. Clone Wars in the I think it was the Dagobah arc with Yoda, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And maybe they showed up in Rebels as well with Kanan or Ezra. But yeah, those little glowy force, I think we've heard a rumor of those somehow being a part of this.
Kyle, do you think the orbs can make an appearance? And if so, what impact are they going to have on the movie?
I think those would be served up for Rey as part of her training to lead her into some kind of vision or seance of some kind.
Right.
Leading her down a path where she has to come to some sort of realization or trial, if as it were. I don't think they'd play that major a role in terms of screen time.
No, do you
but
think
I think
maybe
the impact
be,
they have.
You think it'd be like an Easter egg, maybe, for us, anybody that has watched the Clone Wars? Like, oh, hey, I know what that is. Like, be not significant.
Maybe a glorified, yeah.
Yeah, not significant, but significant enough to be like, oh, hey, that's a, I see where this is going now. Maybe just it kind of tips the hand that you're going to get the answer in 10 minutes, but anybody that's seen the Clone Wars is going to see it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, you know the movie Brave, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the Wisp. Kind of the same thing happening. Maybe the orbs show up and kind of lead her into the cave or something like that, and then that's when the Force Ghost Yoda pops up, you know. And
yes.
And then you could, and then maybe you only have one Force Ghost, but the other orbs are speaking. Maybe they are the other, some other Jedi that, you know, have existed. But they're not in the ghost form, but yet they still are alive in the spiritual world, in a sense.
Yeah.
Ooh, how about this, guys? Oh, okay. How about this for a curveball? We've all got one eyebrow arched at Luke in this movie, correct?
Right.
Like, we don't know what's up with him. So what if these orbs show up and, you know, Luke says, oh, they're, you know, you need to go where these lead you. And so Rey goes, and like Bradley just said, they lead us to Yoda. And Yoda pops up and says, tells Rey, that Skywalker guy is not all he seems. And like, he's, keep watch out for him.
Yeah.
And now we're going, whoa, what's going on? Like, Yoda has just kicked dirt on Luke. What are we to believe here? Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Yeah, that'd be something. That'd be pretty amazing, actually. Yeah, the listeners can't hear, but I'm actually grinning ear to ear. I love it. Like, it's like, oh, whoa, okay, now I can actually. Because I think, as I know, all of us, we're all, Kyle, I believe, we're in our 40s or almost in our 40s or.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there, right? So yeah, but we're pretty close.
I'm within the year.
You can smell it, yeah. So I think for guys our age, I think, yeah, like, we're always looking to tie it into something. We're always looking. I know with me, I'm like, how does that tie into that, and how does that make sense with this, and how, and like, sometimes maybe a good M. Night Shyamalan twist would just be, oh my, yeah, like you said, Kyle, like, just like Yoda going, yeah, no, don't trust Luke. Credits. You mean, like, I think it'd be great. Like, you know, it goes against everything we've seen, but as far as storytelling goes, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I think it would work definitely because we really don't know where Luke's head is.
And you'd get the Empire ending where it doesn't end where everything's hunky-dory happy and it's... You're not going to, it won't be Empire, but you'll get that melancholy feeling going on to the next one, going like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, why is this happening?
Yeah, I think either way, we're going to get that kind of ending for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. I like it. Cool. So there you go. There's just the three of us, so we're going to cut it a little bit shorter this month. But again, Bradley, what do you think? Pretty easy, Star Wars podcasting, is it?
yeah, actually it's a lot of fun. Yeah. This is my first time, obviously, and so I enjoyed it. It kind of flew by pretty quick, but love to do this again. Yeah,
it always does. Well, you know where to find us, and I again, every month I'm always on the lookout. Usually I like to spread out. If you're on one month, obviously, you mean, we like to wait a couple of episodes for they're back on, but yeah, we're getting to the point now where we're Kyle, this is your second time on the roundtable.
Yeah.
And it's nice because I really appreciate being able to play in the Talk Star Wars sandbox. And I love getting a chance to, I know I hear, Bradley, I hear your questions every week on Tumbling Saber. Mm-hmm. And now when you come on this show and I get to go, oh, look, Kyle, meet Bradley. Bradley, Kyle. it's very cool for me to be a listener and a fan of a show, and then to be like, hey, I got a show. I'll get those two together and we'll see. Get some conversation going. So it's really, I really, really enjoy having everybody from all over the network, and especially all the listeners. It's a lot of fun because I'm like you, Bradley, I'm a listener of all these shows and I enjoy getting a chance to come on once a month and, you know, I geek out. I don't mean that in the derogatory sense. I mean that in the awesome sense to really digest Star Wars. So, do you have anything you're doing on your own, Bradley? Do you have anything you got going, or a Twitter account you want people to follow, or something you got?
No, they can just follow me at Bradley W. Hall on Twitter. That's really the only social media that I'm on. I don't do Facebook or
there's lots of grams and Instagrams and chats.
Yeah, all that stuff.
MySpace, right?
MySpace, yes.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Yes.
Don't do it.
Hey, just one thing. If people are going to follow Bradley, ask him to see his Star Wars art.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm not going to let him get off the air here without having mentioned that.
Awesome. Right. Well, I appreciate it.
So this is where I turn it to Kyle. Kyle, let everybody know where they can find all your Star Wars goodness.
TumblingSaber.com is where it's all at. Otherwise, TumblingSaber also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And a little plug for my little brother. Chop rules with a, what should I say?
Zed. Well, we'd say Zed. Bradley, you we can should. Say Z.
Actually, I would say Zed. I would say Zed as well, because my dad, he's a ham radio operator, and that's the way he would say Z. Because, so he would be WB5KZO is what he would would pronounce his call sign. So
yeah, and not to get off the goodbyes here, but have you guys seen Kevin Smith's Yoga Hosers, where they have the convenience store and it's called A to Z, and he spells it EH to ZED because he's doing it the American way. But like, I'm like, I wanted to tweet him and say Zed. Yeah, you just have to put the one letter. You don't have to spell it out. That's, we would say it that way.
Right.
you don't have to spell it.
Right.
Zed.
This is Corey's legacy. He should be proud of that.
There we go. Like, AZ just, he's chop rolls with a Zed. No, I get it. I understand why.
I actually, when he says his name on there, I say it with him just as loud. So I love his name.
Well, I had him on, I think it was 2 months ago. He popped on the round table. And of course, when we were doing the sign off a little bit there, I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have that sound bite. And there it is. captured forever. So other than that, Kyle, you want to tell everybody else what you're doing with the, you have the Journals of the Willing, don't you?
We have Journals of the Willing with my other podcast partner, Steven. And we every couple weeks, we sit down, we break down whatever we're reading, whether that's comics. Lately, it's been more comics than novels. We kind of took a break from the novels just because. And there's also a whole slew of them coming in a couple weeks. So we'll undoubtedly delve back into novels. But yeah, we do Journals of the Willing. And we also do Sith Disturbers. And that is soon going underground as part of our Patreon program. That's going to be sort of the exclusive podcast for our supporters. So
nice.
That's where we typically let our hair down, and what little hair we have up here.
Yeah, well,
you got more than us.
Yeah,
I don't feel sorry for you.
No. Yeah, so I'm being very insensitive to you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's great.
It. Yeah, we just kind of let loose all the other random babblings and bad words that we have in our minds that don't come out in Tumbling Saber. They go on Sith Disturbers.
All right. Bradley, you wanted to jump in?
I do have one thing, and I hope Kyle doesn't mind me saying this. If you would like for me to sing you a birthday song, a personalized birthday song, I would be more than happy to do that. And all you have to do is just actually shout out to me on Twitter. And I'm assuming, Kyle, that you don't mind actually putting those on your show.
Are you kidding?
They're amazing. That's where they would be played on the show. So I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
I really enjoy doing those. So
there you go.
I'm trying to think up new ways of how to sing a birthday song to, you know, each one of these listeners. And so I'm kind of offering that up as something I will do for your listeners.
Awesome.
What's great for me is that I get to hear Bradley's raw files, and it's an unending clip of different takes on Happy Birthday to X. And it's just like a 3-minute clip of different versions of Happy Birthday. It is heaven for me to listen to these things. Oh, it's amazing.
You want to talk about heaven? I got about 10 minutes of Rob Wade going, oh my.
No. Oh my God. That's amazing.
Yes. And disgusted. So, believe me, I know what you mean. Like, and that's part of the, I think the whole part of the charm of the round table here is Bradley, you're getting to see the behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. Like, there's a lot on the editing floor, and some of it ends up in a file somewhere, and maybe never to see the light of day, but you know, it's there. But anyway, you can find myself at Robert MM Cast and check out all the stuff I do there. Also on YouTube, I don't have a video out recently, but I got 3 parts out already. I am part of the Astromech Build Club for Star Wars, and I am currently building a Astromech droid. I'm doing an R2-D2 best I can. And that YouTube series isn't a tutorial in any way. It's not a, this is how you do it. You're not going to see me watch there polishing the dome for half an hour. Oh my. Or anything like that.
There you go.
Yeah, it is. So It's just basically an update on, hey, this is how far I've come. This is how I got here. And watch out for the next one. So, but other than that, until next time, this has been the Roundtable. Thank you very much, Kyle, Bradley. Super appreciated. And if you want to be on this particular program, just send me a message and we'll try to hook you up in the future and get you on so you can talk Star Wars. So until next time, later.